Okay, good evening. Shalom Aleichem, welcome. It's always an exciting time to begin a new parak. And actually, parak HaKones is more than just a big new parak. To a certain extent, it's almost like a turning point in the Masechta. For those who have been with us from the beginning, for those who are familiar with Bava Kamma, you know that the first half of Masechta, pretty much until this point, has dealt primarily with... obviously, like anything else, Talmud Bavli is all mixed up, and there have been many sugyas along the way that have deviated, perhaps, from that which I'm about to say. But for the most part, the Masechta has dealt with damages that were caused by animals, the halachos that related to Nizkei Shor and Karen, which, of course, was the subject of numerous prakim. Of course, along the way, we discussed many other issues, and we've recently... dealt with the sugyas of Bor. Actually, the very first Tosos on the Daf on the Nehemiah Beis talks about why exactly the halachas of Bor came before this parak. But this parak, Parak HaKones, introduces us to concepts related to Shmira, which means the requirements of an individual, either a homeowner or an animal owner, to provide certain protection so that his property does not cause someone to get hurt. We'll then move into a discussion of Eish, of damages caused by fire. And then after this point, the remainder of Masechta deals with primarily with the laws of Genev and Gzela and Chavala of injuries. So this is really almost a turning point, the midpoint in the Masechta in terms of the actual parak, and actually, you know, really thematically is an interesting turning point as well. Of course, the first Mishnah, as any Mishnah, is jam-packed. Many, many different points in the Mishnah. So we're going to begin tonight by talking about a few. I doubt that we're really going to study all the points in the Mishnah tonight carefully, but at least we'll begin together. For those of you who are new to this year, so it should be obvious, but of course we encourage discussions and questions and complaints along the way, so please feel free to call me on anything. The Mishnah, which begins on top of the Nehemiah Beis, begins with the words, Hakone son Nadir, V'nol b'fonei ha-koroi v'yotze v'zika pater. Lo nol b'fonei ha-koroi v'yotze v'zika chayef. Says the Mishnah that a person brings his son ladir. Okay, so he's kones, he brings his son into a deer. What's a deer? So Rashi doesn't help us over here. Deer is not a common word. The Meiri, which I cited for you on the top of the sheet, actually tells us what this means. We would typically translate this as a pen, as a corral, as an area which is designated for animals, but the Meiri explains very interestingly that this is not merely a holding pen, but serves a very different function. Amar Meiri hakonis son ladir, v'hu shahayim in hagam, this was their practice, k'shayirotzim l'zabel es hasada, when they want to fertilize the field, shahayim alin and shamas hatzon. So they would bring the tzon to basically hang out there, to sleep there, to rest there. But he godrims tzivivos hamakom shemachnitzim asof shav bepatsim shloiz pazu, and they would set up temporary boundaries so that the tzon would not wander, and they dafka wanted them concentrated in this area. Shloiz pazu lekamekam, they don't want them walking all over the place. Ad she yizdabelos abamakom hamukof bitzoasam, until this particular enclosed area would become sufficiently fertilized through their dung. And then they would bring them to the next part of the field that they wanted to fertilize in this way. This enclosed area, which is interesting, because like, again, it's a temporary enclosure, is called a deer. The Meiri doesn't say this, but I saw others say that that is a derivative of the word geder, that the animals are mugdar or mugdarin, they are enclosed within a certain fence. So therefore it's interesting that that is the derivation of the word deer, which is a Talmudic term. I always assumed that. This is where the animals live. But the Meiri anyways says that it's actually a Talmudic expression. It doesn't seem to assume that it comes from the Hebrew word ladur. But certainly possible. In either event, whether we understand that it comes from the word geder or ladur, it is an enclosure for animals, and a person brings his animals into his deer, which is certainly obviously his right to do so, v'nal b'faneha, and then he sets up a barrier. V'nal doesn't have to mean he locks it. Sometimes ne'ila has a certain connotation that the doors were actually locked. Over here it doesn't mean that. You're dealing with Tzon, which are not very aggressive animals. These are animals that are not known to try to push their way through a wall. Vanah b'fanah karoy means simply, he closed them in. Karoy. Now it's a little tempting to begin the Gemara right now, because the Gemara begins by asking, or actually introducing a brisa that's going to deal with what karoy means. It's very nice to say, you know, karoy, but, you know, it's like saying to your child, be good. Okay, sure, I'll be good. What does it mean, vanah b'fanah karoy? So we don't know yet. I'll give you a little preview. We're not going to look inside. The Gemara is going to basically say, karoy means that which could withstand the force of a normal wind, which a normal wind doesn't also mean necessarily wind, but in other words, that which is expected under normal situations to remain closed. So basically, he did a sufficient job. He didn't put up steel barriers. He didn't put up three rows of barbed wire fences, but he basically enclosed the animals, karoy, in that which we would call a sufficient manner. And then somehow the animals got out. We don't know how. Something happened. The Yatza v'Hizika, what did they do? What kind of damage did they cause? So when it comes to Tzon, there's really in almost all situations only one type of damage that they would cause, and that is what we call Shein V'Reyo. Probably they started eating from the neighbor's food. It's possible that they knocked into some cans and broke them. Perhaps through their just walking, things were knocked over. But in all likelihood, when you talk about Tzon, you're talking about damage that was caused through what we call Shein. It's possible you could have a sheep that's in a bad mood, but in all likelihood that's not what's happening over here. He's not goring anybody, he's not biting anyone, he's just eating. Yosef Izika Pater. So says the Mishnah, in this situation the Baal Hatzon doesn't have to pay for damages that were caused by his animal. Why? Says Rashi, the Hanatra. Because he guarded it, he watched it. Umay Havale Mevad. What else was he supposed to do? That's an interesting Rashi. Because there's certainly more he could have done. What could he have done? Karoy, again, as we said already, means sufficiently, but it doesn't mean he did the maximum. So this is going to be a discussion that we're going to have later on as to why Rashi says over here, what else could he have done? But for the moment, it would seem that Rashi is saying, we don't expect him to do anymore. My Havali Lemeva doesn't mean there's nothing else that he could have done, but it means we are trying to be reasonable and fair with the Tzon owner over here. It just doesn't seem that we should expect anything more than he closes them koroi. It should be obvious at this point, but again, I'm just sensitive to the fact that there are a few people who haven't been here before. The Torah, of course, requires a person to pay for damages that are caused by his animals, as we see over here. There are different types of damages, and there are different dinim that relate to those damages, but it should be obviously a given at this point that a person can't tie it well, it was a grumma, it was indirect, it wasn't me, I was in the house sleeping, don't blame me. So the answer is that the Torah holds the Baal Hatzon responsible, assuming that there was some degree of negligence on the part of the owner. Over here, that says the Mishnah, he wasn't negligent. He did what he was supposed to do, the animals escaped, that's life, and the Nizak can't sue him. I'm sorry? Right, so we do assume that Tzon is to be taken literally. In fact, the discussion of the Gemara, which we won't see tonight, but on the bottom of the Amud, the Gemara is actually medayik from the fact that until now we've been talking about Shor, and all of a sudden we switched to Tzon. So the Gemara is going to say that there's a chiddush there in the Mishnah, that all of a sudden we're talking about Tzon. Because it was pointed out correctly, even when we spoke about damages caused by eating, until now we always spoke about an ox. Even though we've made the point repeatedly that it's lav dafka an ox, it's a little strange that all of a sudden the Mishnayah should start talking about sheep, but the Gemara is going to make the point that there's a reason for that. But certainly what we're saying right now could apply to a shor as well, although obviously the type of ne'ilah karoy will be different when you're dealing with a 1,000-pound beast and when you're dealing with a little sheep. The Mishnah then says, lo na'al b'fon ha'karoy, right? The opposite, that if there was an insufficient shmira, v'yatzav zika chayiv. So of course, question that also we have to deal with is, why does that have to be stated? Once you told me he does a sufficient job, he's pater. So it shouldn't be necessary to state that if there was an insufficient job, that he's lichayev. Okay. Continues the Mishnah, nifritza balayla. Osher partzua listim v'yatzav hizika pater. Well, so what does nifritza balayla mean? The word paratz means what? The wall was breached. There was a breach of geder. Somehow it was broken open. The Mishnah doesn't say how it happened, and it would appear that it doesn't really matter how it happened. It could have been an unexpected wind. It could have been the animal itself unexpectedly you know, pushed through the wall, or something else happened, but the wall is broken. And interestingly, the Mishnah says, we're going to see in a moment why it happened at night. Oh, another possibility, says the Mishnah, alternatively, Shapratsua Listim. There was a break-in and Listim, robbers came, they broke open the fence, and they didn't steal the animals. They weren't even interested in the animals, it would appear. And you'll see why I say that in a moment. But they didn't close up when they left. So they walk in, they knocked open the wall, they took what they wanted, they left, but now there's a hole in the wall, and then the animals walk out, eat the neighbor's food, and then the Zika that caused damage, and then in the morning everybody realizes the whole mess. So here as well, putter. Was this cited earlier? This particular case, was it cited earlier? Possibly. Not that I recall. The Tosus over here does cite a similar Gemara in Daf Yudalit. It would be very impressive if that's what you're referring to. But certainly it's possible. But we have discussed similar situations, but this particular Mishnah, I don't know if it was cited earlier. So, Nifetzu B'layla, Ushpatzu, list of Yasuf Zika Pata. Now, let's take a quick glance over at Tosos here for one moment, because this is an interesting point. The Mishnah, again, starts off by saying, if you close your animals and you do a sufficient in the Elah, and they somehow escape, you're Pata. And then it says, Nifetzu B'layla, if they what? If there's a priest together at night, you're Pata. So it would seem that what?
Not on
duty. That what?
The owner is not on duty at night.
The owner is not on duty at night, correct. But he doesn't have to be on duty, because the Reish of the Mishnah says all you have to do is do a Ne'ilah Karay. You just have to lock the door sufficiently and that's it. Or close the door, lock them in. So the question the Tosfos asks is, what's the Chiddush of Nifetz B'layla? You already told me, even the Yom. Right? If you're Nichmas, right, Kone Tzom Ladir, Benalba Fonel. That's it. Whatever happens, happens. So now Nifritz of Belila, okay, very nice. But what, why is that necessary? So asks Tosus, the second Tosus on the page, Nifritz of Belila, Afal Pi the Tonel El, Bufonel Karoi Potter. So Tosus says, you know, really this shouldn't be necessary to state this, because it said earlier, if you lock the door, if you close it sufficiently, that's sufficient. Yeah? Oh, so yeah, but again, null doesn't mean I'm saying it, even though I'm saying it's not what it means. Doesn't have to mean locking it necessarily. It just means closing it. It's derech lemisni nifritza belayla pata. Nevertheless, there's a chiddush over here, and interestingly, the chiddush comes from the word layla. Why? Kedidiyek become ber kama, as the Gemara infers earlier in the first parak on Daf Yudalid. It says what habayom chayit, that if there's a priest's gather biyom, then we would hold the owner of the sheep responsible. Why? The kala yisleh lemilsa. Because when this happens, it will generate a what? A call. What does it mean? It doesn't mean necessarily he's going to hear the fence fall, but it means word will get out. This is something that will be seen, and no doubt the owner will be informed. Umistama yadash nifritza. And so says Mustama, he's aware of the fact. So even though it's true, argues Tosfos, that which happens when he's unaware, he's not chayav to pay. But that which happens, and he is aware, then he has to take at that point any necessary measures to contain the animals and to bring them back. Obviously, if he becomes aware and he runs, and by the time he gets to the animals have eaten, he's not chayav to pay for that. But anything that happens after that point, he's really responsible to pay. So Tosfos says the chiddush over here is in the fact that it says belayla, nifritz of belayla, because if it happened biyom, then we're going to hold him responsible for anything that happens. Because the stomach, he heard about it, and he should have taken the necessary precautions. Inami, says Tosfos, but Belayla, afilu no the lo shnifetzo, v'yatsa behema, ein lo l'troach yosem yidai, lachzer achareha ba'afela. Tosfos says, even a bigger chiddush. Let's say you get a call in the middle of the night, and the neighbor's on the phone. What do you want? I just want to let you know that there was just a break-in, and I'm looking out my window right now, and some bandit came in, and they knocked open your fence, and your sheep are all over the place. And the guy, can you imagine? This guy gets a phone call at 2 o'clock in the morning, and he says, leave me alone. He says, I'm just letting you know, they're walking all over, they're eating from all the neighbor's rose bushes. The guy says, well, it's late at night, I can't go out there at night, what am I going to do? Says Tosfos, that's okay. Tosfos says, a chiddush. I feel no delo shnifetzo v'yatsa ha-behema, ain lo l'tshurach yosem yidai, You don't have to be Mashiach yourself. That's a very interesting phrase. I guess it's up to the Dayanim to decide what is too much, because the Nimuki Yosef doesn't say those words. Yes, the Nimuki Yosef just says, Eino l'troach, acharel be'afela. You don't have to go into the dark. There's a certain sakana involved. There's a considered a I guess too much of a burden. That's the word. Tirchamin Tosa does the word sakana. I guess it's very burdensome to have to walk around at night finding animals in the dark. So Tosa says it's a big chiddush that it's not just that mistama you heard by yom and you wouldn't hear at night. Says Tosa, even if you hear at night, we would not necessarily hold you responsible. So the chiddush of nifritza b'layla is that even if a piercing takes place and you know about at night and you know about it, we would not hold you responsible, as opposed to bayom, where once you hear, you have to do what you can to bring the animals in.
I'm not sure you have to make as big a chiddush in telescopes as the case that you mentioned. In other words, if somebody calls me and tells me it's in my yard, I may talk after go. Maybe telescopes means start with a little reading list. The first thing, last I heard, you don't have to go search for it by Fela. The tercho of going out at night to search for missing bang is a huge tercho. You can't be joking for it.
Right.
But what you're suggesting is in the bigger fetish, I'm not sure if you can just.
What's the bigger fetish?
If somebody calls you, he's in my yard.
Oh, he's in my yard. Yeah. Right. I don't say he's in my yard. Right. Right, right. If he says, I see him right now.
Yeah.
Correct. Okay, that's fair enough.
Sure.
Right, I don't know either. I don't know either. Right, but the chiddush is, but the point is definitely know the law, that he's been informed.
Right. The question is, what does tercho mean? Does
right.
It mean searching for or just going
it sounds like searching. I mean, Tosu says, again, what does it say? That you were aware that they broke out.
Right.
You don't have to be machiach yourself too much to chase after them in the dark. Chase after them in the dark. Yeah. But I will tell you, if you take a look at the sheaf, source number 4, the Maharshal, the Yamshel Shomo, well, again, you'll decide whether, you know, to what extent, you know, this, I don't know what we conclude based on this Maharshal, but the Maharshal does write, he quotes the Gemara in that Tosfos, so we're not going to read the whole thing again, but the last line over here, until now it's everything we've read already, but the last line of the Maharshal, source number 4, says, the year it would appear, Shemizen Nilmod, based on this Chiddush of Tosfos, that Hu Adin L'chol Shmiros, now again, you could still argue, as you're trying to do, that that means that there's an inherent tircha in your being able to fix this at night. It's not that we're saying that during nighttime hours, you know, you don't have to be responsible for damages which are caused by, you know, your property if you can stop it. But the Yamshel Shomo says it's not unique to this particular case, because after all, it's Tosus Chiddush has nothing with Tzon, it has nothing with the Priestess Hageder. It really has to do with the fact that we do not require an owner to be Matriach himself too much, again, assuming that he took the necessary precautions beforehand, in a situation where it's a night. Now, I also assume, I don't know, but that if we're saying this is true b'layla, perhaps the case can be made in other situations. Let's say it's terrible weather outside, the snow. I mean, obviously you're not going to have an issue with the sheep eating, you know, the rose bushes, but, you know, there may be other situations where we could apply this as far as well, because it seems to be Tircha Yosemidai. That seems to be the idea over here, that we don't want to be matriach. We're not matriachim too much in a situation where it's not as convenient or it's not as easy to do as it would be by yom. Okay. Yeah.
I was just thinking, even the ration is potter, does that mean like potter forever? Presumably, at some point, you've got to do something.
Right, so I think that was the first point Tosus made over there, that by yom. Right, so to say that he's potter b'layla only means, right, he's potter.
Nothing's a reasonable standard. No,
right.
The act eventually will get it, but you know,
right.
Much.
Right. Exactly. So that's the expression, nifritza b'layla. What's the chiddush of shepatzua listim? Shepatzua listim. So this is really. Should be easier to answer. So what would be the chiddush? Again, what happened? I put my animals in the deer, I go to sleep, and bandits come, listen come, they break open the wall, they leave, my animals escape. So once we said already, nal b'fanav karoi, that you did a sufficient ne'ila, so what's the chiddush of partzua listim? The chiddush of partzua listim, so who's potter over here, in this case? Who's potter? When we say who's Pater? Who? Baal's Pater. So it says, Tosfos, that's the Chiddush of here. Patur listed the Itzrich, the next Tosfos, Lashmina Dafilo ha-listed Paturim, Kishalo ho-si-uha. That even listed themselves are Pater, if they did not themselves take the animals out. See, the next line in the Mishnah, I should have read the next line first. I'll answer you one second. The next line in the Mishnah says, Hotsi'uha listim, listim chayav. If the listim came in, and we're going to have to see later, Zmachogos Rishon, whether they came in to take the animals, or they just kicked them out anyway. In other words, it could be different cases. I got three different possibilities. The listim come in, and they're going for the gold. They break up the door, they don't care about the animals. They walk in, they walk out. That's the first case of Portsua listim. They just broke open the fence, and the animals wandered out. Hotziua listim can mean two things. It can mean that they drag the animals out of there, not with the intention of stealing them, but they just kicked them out. Or it could mean, perhaps, that they actually had to take them out for the purpose of stealing them, in which case they were coded them. There was a king in Gazela, and now they assume all responsibility if the animal is damaged later. So that's not clear yet, but one thing is clear. No, because in addition to the fact that they have to pay for the animals, they also have to pay for the damages which the animals caused. It's not just that they have to pay as a god of our gazim. Well, they now have a chiyuv to pay for damages as if they were the owners themselves. That's only by hotziua listim. If it was partsua listim, so then they're patur. That's the chiddush. You know, we've all heard of.
The animals are grazing
on other people's fields and area. Then the listen stole them, but then let them go. So they made them hefker. I can't make my animals hefker on your lawn. I mean that being mafkir animals in such a situation, it was also.
Then the listen in that case should be responsible.
Right. Right. That's the point. So when it's Hotzi'u Alistim, they are responsible. When it's just Nifitza, Partsu'a, right, they broke open the gate and the animals walked out. Again, it's you know, intuitively I think people would say that's not fair. But the Chiddush over here is, says Tosfos, that even the Listim are Partsu'a. Now why should the Listim be Pater in that case? It's a Grama. Pasha says it's a grama. Again, so for those who are new here, so the concept of grama I'm sure is familiar to everyone, but in halacha, there are times where you may be considered negligent on some level. It could be that what you did was irresponsible, but the halacha very often is just as interested in determining whether or not the person actually committed a particular action as interested as we are in determining what his kavana was. So, grama, it's not a question of his kavana. You know, these guys were negligent. They broke into someone else's barn, and they left the door wide open. We're not taking it easy on them because they didn't mean it. The point over here is that at the end of the day, they broke a door open. The animals chose to walk out on their own, ate someone else's food. So, you know, in halacha, that's called a grama. And the din is that grama bin zaken is pater. In most situations of grama, you still chayt bebi din shemayim. Which means if you want to be a good guy in the tshuva, you really have a chiyuv to pay the guy for damage, but in a bez and shomata, you know they're not gonna make the guy pay. He's part of b'dinei adam. Now let's think about this for a moment. Let's talk about this for a second. I come into your house, I walk into your barn, kick the door open, the animals walk out and eat. So says the Mishnah, I, the god of the owner, the one who kicked the door open, I don't have to pay. It's a grama. So let's talk about another situation which we've discussed earlier. I'm walking down the street and there's a big hole in the ground. That's the bad news. The good news is that it's covered with a big secure board. There's a manhole in the street. Right? It's a manhole. So what do? I come over, look this way, that way, Vayifan Kovacho, Vayaki Enish. I pick up the manhole cover and throw it away. A few minutes later, someone comes, an animal comes, falls in the pit. So what's the din?
Chayev.
Chayev. So, is there a difference?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, why should it be that over here we're saying Nifritza, Partsua, Listim, if the Listim break open the fence, Biyotza Vizika Patzer, as opposed to removing the cover to a pit? Why?
It's on the Torah. says the Torah, in case of a bar, if you uncover it, you're responsible.
No, it doesn't. Well, it says, if, oh, say, if, ish, right, ki yichre or ki yiftach. Right, well, it says ki yiftach, no? Yeah. Yeah, it says ki yichre. Yeah. I would normally never second guess about Korah, but it's just. Yeah. No, we know that it says it, but you should check it up anyway. But you know, but it, we don't guess because there was certainly there was this discussion in the Hamtai Rebbe. Is ki yichre ish bar or ki yiftach ish bar? You take a look. You'll tell me in a moment. So, okay, fine. I'll accept what you're saying. It's a gezeirus hakasuf. That's what you want to say. In other words, okay. So what? That's not a good answer.
That's the definition of the
bar. Oh, but that's not a good answer, because if it really is a quote unquote gezeiras hakasuf that the Torah says that when you take, so then what should we say? What do we say when you have a gezeiras hakasuf? We say, okay, you see that this is the Torah's logic, so it should be applied everywhere.
No.
Yes, that's the din.
About bar, because the Torah is telling us something unique about bar. Oh. When you have bar, first of all, bar is unique in terms of the fact that it belongs to you, even though it's in your shoes. You don't have any ownership. You didn't buy you to pay for it, because it's shoes around them, and you're responsible for it as if it's yours.
Right.
So it's a unique entity within this concept of
tort,
of responsibility.
Right. Okay, so I'm giving you a hard time, because I'm saying even if you're right that it's a gezeiras hakasuf, we should still apply that logic to other areas as well. Now you're saying no, because bor is a chiddush in and of itself, namely, first and foremost, as you pointed out, the bor, it's not even mine, I don't own it, it's bor versus a rabbin, but the Torah holds me responsible as if it's mine. I could still argue with you, and I could say then it should be a kavachomer. If there's something which is not yours, the Torah holds you responsible, even if what, you just lifted the cover, then certainly what? Well, over here, it's more or less the same thing. Over here, well, how's that? I still don't understand how it's different than Partsula list, then. Partsula is also not mine. So why is it different if I kick the lid off someone's bar, or if I knock the door of someone's barn?
But that's, is that the difference when you kick it off the Torah, it's yours? So, right?
Right.
So the other person recharged with another sheet is the owner of the sheet.
Right.
And here, you are the owner of the door.
Right. You become the owner automatically. Right. Yeah, no, no, yes, yes. So the stipler basically says that. That's the answer that the stipler gives. The second source on the page comes from the Kihos Yaakov, and the second Siman of Avakamas goes all the way back to the beginning of his, in his essays, in the beginning of the Masechta. But over there he asks this question. He wants to know what's the difference between bor and this case of Ethir. He says, Miha the Chayva Torah Psichot HaBor, for the fact that the Torah holds you responsible for merely uncovering, again, not digging, but uncovering a bor, Muchach Ora, the Siluk Hashmira Meyamazik Nechshav Kasiyah. So it would seem, therefore, to imply that removing that which was essentially guarding the Mazik from being destructive, so that's considered like Asiyas HaHezek. From the fact that the Torah says, yeah, I didn't push the animal into the pit. I didn't kill the animal. All I did was remove the cover. But the fact that the Torah is responsible shows that that's considered like Asiyas HaHezek. If that's so, so then why is it? It says, Nifetza Balayla Osha Patsua Listin Patsa. Vigama Listin Patsa. The list of Tosfos says of your also part. Who get the Tnan Hasam as it says, "How tziu a list in listem chayavim? Have a kushalava tziu? Have a pishar tzor partzu befaneh apturin? The lam alo neima. Why not say the same that what the mashit parat vesile kashmir hashemera shelo yesi ashar? That the fact that you removed, that you kicked open that which was preventing the he says sure, but it's really tzon, but it doesn't matter from damaging. Dino ki ilu hotziu beyadayim. Why is it any different than if the guy took it out? As the Mishnah goes on to say, if he grabs the animal by the collar, he is chayef. So then the stipler alludes to a Tosfos, which I already told you about in the next daf, which we're not going to look at now. He says, "V'nir the lakasha midi, the hamavua b'Tosfos davnun vavim beis." Tosfos says later on, "In the name of Yerushalmi, dafilo hotziu listening v'yadayim, and chayavim came atziu al manas legoza." Even if they grab them out, they're still only going to be chayef if they did it with the intention of stealing them. Came kisha parts of before now when they just merely kicked the door open. Lo goes lo a klal, hello other meal tzuah shalom and asma goza. But that's not really a good answer. It says Vintomar Hagufa Tikshi. That still doesn't make sense. The Lachaiva list in Gam Kishlam and Asal Goza. Why should that matter? Kavan Shistilku Hashmira Meyashar. Since they remove the impediment from in front of the animal, Ayyidei Siluk Shmirasa, Hizik Shashor, the Maishna Mibor, the Chayvel Hezek, Habor Mehabor, Machma Siluk Shmirasa. Again, why is it that that we seem to be making this distinction, that removing the cover on top of the boar, so it's like I caused the Hezek, but when it comes to removing the impediment in front of the shore, kicking open the barn door, it's not. The Yesh Lomar. So here says time the following. The shiny boar is different. The chayev al siyaso afilu ena shalom. Boar is a chiddush, and you cannot learn from boar. Why? Because the Torah holds you responsible even though it's not yours. The chayev al boar b'shusa rabim, the asan akosav ki ilhu b'shusa. The Gemara may have a statement earlier that there are two things that are technically not yours, but the Torah makes it as if it is yours. Right, one is bar b'shusa rab. If I dig a hole in the street, it's not my street, it's not my hole, it's not my air, it's nothing. But the Torah says, too bad, you're the bala boy. What's the other, parenthetically? Chametz, right. Chametz on Pesach, but wait, even Chametz on Pesach, the fact that you're over by Rabbi Masa, even though it's not yours because it's also Bahama, the Torah makes it as of yours. You have to do a mitzvah, you have to get rid of it. So, bar is a chiddush. About sure, it's not that way. Ein o chayiv el mishum mamono. You're only chayiv because it's yours. Taha I akirei patur al nizakov. If you makir it, you patur al nezek. Don't. No, because that's different. I think that means you. I think you makir your animal in a safe place. I don't think I could be wrong. I don't think if I wake up in the morning and I see my sheep is eating my neighbor's rose bush, so I said, who needs a sheep anyway? Forget it, I'm mafkir. I don't know that you can be mafkir at that point, but if it's not my shore, I'm not responsible. Because it's not, as we learned earlier in the Chasam Yechadim, look at Daf Gimel all the days. Alma, the Rach Mishum Amonachai Torah Gabi Shore. It's only because it's yours. Okay. And then, we could stop right there. But if you look at source number 3, so the same question is asked in the Sefer Mishmeres HaChaim. Mishmeres HaChaim is a fascinating Sefer. So I think it's called Mishmeres HaChaim. I wrote HaChaim, but I think it's Mishmeres HaChaim. Mishmeres HaChaim is a fascinating 3-volume book, which is, not a big book at all. Every siman is approximately half a page. And the story, I think, is, not a story, but I think the story behind the Sefer is Reb Chaim, I'm blanking, Rosh Shiva Torah Or. Everybody knows who he is. I'm just totally blanking now. Oh, gosh. He's with all the big sisters. Oh, Rosh Scheinberg, good. Rosh Scheinberg, in his yeshiva for years, he would have a special treat, if you will, for the B'nai Yeshiva. On Thursday night, he would ask them a question. Alam de Shekasha, where they had to explain the difference between two cases. And he would give them the question, and it would give them 20 minutes, a half hour, to go ahead and figure out the answer. And then they would discuss an answer. And someone put all these questions together over the years, a few hundred questions, in a sefer called Mishmeres Chaim. It's a very nice sefer. I've seen people bring the Mishmeres Chaim to weddings. Why would somebody bring Mishmeres Chaim to a wedding? There's a certain type of sefer you want to bring to a simcha. You don't necessarily want to bring a whole gemara with you. If you're holding in a sugya and you just want to, read a few lines, that's okay. But usually at a wedding, you get 10 minutes there, you get 5 minutes there. You want something that you could, open up during the chuppah, and then close afterwards and walk out with something. So Mishmeres Chaim is a little thick for a wedding, but it's a nice, so it's that type of say what? Yeah, it's like the nice things to think about. I'll say yeah. So he asked this question. Well, he quotes the Stipler, and he doesn't like the Stipler's answer, and he still presses away that you should still be able to learn it to apply it to Shor. He says, "I'm the Kibbutz Yaakov." What's the difference between bar when you remove the cover and you cause it to cause damage? How's this different from one who opened the door before the shore? Over there, the guy who opens the door is Potter. You should say the same thing by bar. V'leka meimar b'zeh gezeres ha'kosev. You can't tell me gezeres ha'kosev like you wanted to say. D'neilef mina. You should say it's the same thing. V'gam b'poseach deles b'pnei ashor. Ha'gezeres ha'kosev v'chayev. If you're going to tell me it's gezeres ha'kosev by bor, he insists you should be able to apply the same thing by shor. With the stipler's chilek notwithstanding. He doesn't understand why. Just because there's this chiluk between shor and bor, you should still say it's like a mamatzinu. Just as the Torah says you're chayv for removing the cover in front of a bor, you should also be chayv for removing the cover in front of the shor. The fact that one is mamono and one is not mamono, he says, doesn't seem to like that answer.
I'm looking at the first part.
Yeah. That's true. That's one. Okay, so you know, I was here for the first practice a long time ago. But the reason why, when the Gemara says lo hare ashor bor kiddush, why the chiddush of bor was that it's not holy chamazik. So what does that mean? It means that bor is unique, and bor itself, the fact that I'm chayiv to pay for this gay bor is something that can never have been deduced logically because it is a chiddush. Because all the other mazikim travel to, and the bor, the victim comes to the bor. So that makes it a chiddush for which, and ultimately the Gemara concludes that you could have learned other cases as a combination of bor and other things, but bor itself is a chiddush that the Torah has to state. But once the Torah states the chiddush, okay, so now it's Torah logic. So the Torah tells us, yechai for bor, fine. So just as removing the cover to a bor holds you, makes you responsible. So we should say that removing the cover, so to speak, in front of a shore, namely the door, should be the same thing. So he says, look at the second paragraph over here. This is a very, it's somewhat of a nuanced lumdisha point, but it's very interesting. I think the Rav, if I remember correctly, also we learned earlier, had a similar svara. V'nir l'chalik v'gabe shor hamazik. Here's the difference. By shor hamazik, Chayiv mipnei ha-hezek she'asa. When my animal damages, I have to pay because of the damage that it causes. V'lachein imhu rak goram l'kach she'asa ha-nezek. If all I did was caused the damage to occur by removing, by opening the door, she'pasach ha-deles, pater, the government v'nizakon is pater. The reason why I'm responsible to pay for damages that are caused by my animal is because it damages, and if it's not my animal, all I did was open the door in front of your animal, that's called a grubma. He says, Masha ain kin gabi bor. Now get ready for this. I'll tell you, sit down, you're already seated. He says, gabi bor, ikir hachiyuv mishun da'asa mazik. The reason why you have an obligation to pay is because you created a mazik. There's only a condition that you really only have to pay if someone got hurt. But the real obligation to pay stems from the fact that you created a takol, an obstacle in the middle of the street, that's what you're paying for. That's a ma'isah hezek. He says, removing the cover from a boar, that is the hezek. You'll say, wait a second, what do you guys say? What if an animal ever falls in? Okay, so then you got off. You were lucky, but you're still a mazik. That's as far as so damage is concerned, only grama. But the asiyas hamazik, it's not that you caused damage. You created the mazik itself. That who was to be a daim, became the chiyuv bor hu mishum asiyas hamazik. The chiyuv over there is because you created the takala, the mazik itself. Lo mishum hanezek, chayv ala psicha. And then again, it goes back to the Kibbutz Yaakov. So, Kibbutz Yaakov Hanal Dochak Atzmo Liyashev. He forced himself to Miyashev. The Siyim V'Siyim Shabal Korchel Sarach Lomish Shizeg Zeres Hakosuf Dafke Gabi Bor Tachay B'Shil Silik Shmira Tzarachiyin Udvarein Muzbar Hadavel Lomachiyiv Dafke Bor.
So, by that logic, we learned previously, if you come, you made a bor, and you covered it with an inadequate cover, then you were chay. So, according to this, you wouldn't be chayiv because you covered it.
You didn't cover it. You didn't cover it. You never removed. What did you do? Did you dig the hole?
Yeah.
Okay, so you dig the hole. You dug the hole, so now you made a mazik. The only way you can clear yourself now is by covering it. So if you cover it with an insufficient cover, they haven't done anything. You haven't covered it. So that you haven't removed You haven't been misalik the mazik, right?
The problem is that without bylaws, you haven't solved the issue. Because what's the difference between okay, let's say you come across a board that's already created.
Mm-hmm.
You come, you open it. So you would say you're creating a mazik.
Right.
Why is that different when you come across a behema and a pen and you open the door? Now you're creating a mazik. When you hire, the behema goes down and closes down.
Right.
You're hired by the board. Someone comes to the board and falls in. But conceptually, it's the same thing.
Conceptually, it should be the same thing, but he's saying it's not.
Why?
Why? He doesn't mean a riot for it, but he says that although I will say, by the way, that this concept that he's speaking about of creating the mazik, that is a Gemara expression. Not quite the same way, but the Gemara earlier in the first parak has an expression we use again and again, that what's the chiddush of bar? It's called shetchilas asiyaso lenezek, which is ringing in my ears as he's saying this. That the Gemara says that bar, it right, that when you created something which is hazardous. You know, a animal, the etzem is not hazardous. I mean, unless it's an animal which is mu'ud, but a shor is not hazardous by nature. Kicking open the door, it's not chilas asiyaso lenezek. Digging a hole in the street, you know, leaving something which is considered technically a bar, that's what's called chilas asiyaso, which sounds like what he's saying over here, although he's taking a step up beyond. He's saying that that's really what you're paying for. The Torah holds you responsible for the fact that you created a mazik.
Yeah, but again, I mean, you didn't create a mazik. You uncovered a mazik that somebody else created.
Right, so that's his chiddush. I told you it was a chiddush. I told you, I don't really can't say that I understand it completely, why he's compelled to come to this conclusion, but the question's a fascinating one. I mean, it's certainly one to get you to stop and think. And that's why kicking open the cover, you don't have to pay, but the what? We're opening the gate, you do. And one more point on this before we go on in the Mishnah. And that is, there's a sefer which I quote from, you know, from time to time. It's on the other side of the page. It's a sefer called Mishpatei HaTorah, which has some very nice questions. I used to think that all these questions really happened. I think that's the way the book was introduced to me. There's a Dayan in B'nai Brak, Rav Spitz, but I don't even know anymore. I don't know. What? Right, you can tell by the title.
Yeah.
But it's always fascinating questions. And it's really just, again, what's beautiful about this sefer, I think, is it brings these sugyas, you know, to life. The question over here is an apartment building, and there are cats in Israel, it's very common, that have found a comfortable home in the stairwell. And they cause all sorts of fear and concern among, particularly among the women and the children. Already the question doesn't sound so real, but in Israel nobody's scared of cats. But they're scary cats, I don't know. They're Olim, you know, they just came over, they've just been in Israel for a few weeks, so they're still scared of cats. So all of the neighbors living in this particular apartment complex have agreed already that they're going to assess every member of the apartment building to come up with a certain amount of money where they're going to install a spring to close the door to close automatically, and this way the cats won't be able to come in. In the interim, however, until they buy it and install it, they're insisting that everybody close the door behind them and close it well so the cats don't come in. So one of the people who lived there forgot to close the door, and the cat came in. It was a scary cat, and it was a hungry cat, and it approached... Was. It seems that it was. I'm embellishing it just a little bit. But it's just as a nichnas chatul. It doesn't say it was scary. He comes into the stairwell, and a woman who was pregnant was walking by. She became frightened, and as a result of this, she miscarried. Now, whether it was the fear alone or she fell, I don't know, but it doesn't really matter as far as the child is concerned. So the question is, can we hold the person who didn't close the door, can we hold him responsible for the damage that was caused? It's an obviously tragic silence, not just a question of a few dollars. I mean, but nevertheless, the question is certainly, you know, it's possible. I mean, it's a believable sort of story. It's a scenario that someone left the door open, and as a result, this cat came in. Again, obviously, this is different than if we're not talking about the cat owner. There is no cat owner. We're not talking about a situation where a guy leaves his door open, his pit bull runs out and starts attacking the neighbors. It's a completely different shiloh. Over here, the cat came in from the street, but there was an understanding that all the people in the building would close the door behind him. Sorry.
Mathematically true that her being startled was causative of her having a miscarriage.
All right, but you don't even have to prove it. Why? Because from our mission already, let's say you can prove it. Right? Let's say you have a panel of doctors and they say, in our opinion, we are 100% certain that the cat caused a miscarriage. The din is still going to be, it's going to be plotter. That's nifritz of Belila. Now again, you'll say, but how could you compare someone that eat a few vegetables? Excuse me, part two of listen. Right, part two of listen.
No, but the person, it's the first case, it's the ratio where somebody had a responsibility to close the door and failed to do so.
But it's part two of listen, because what is listen? Do we open the door?
The first case, you had a responsibility to keep the door closed and you failed to do
so. No, that's different. No, the first case, we're talking about my animals. Right? The first case is my animals, and I didn't lock the door, and my animals escaped, so then I'm tied to pay. Over here, it's not my animals. I had it over here, when the guy comes into his apartment building, he's liked the listing, I think. He had a right to open the door, but he had a responsibility to close it. He didn't close it, and then something came in from the outside, as opposed to the case in the Mishnah where something that was in goes outside, but the din is the same, and causes damage, yeah?
You don't close the screen door, a bee comes in and
changes
the child, or
right.
causes an infection in some
similar situation.
The bee's
right.
Stray, it's all.
That's right, the bee's. Right, that's exactly the point. That something that was supposed to be kept in or kept out escaped or made its way in as a result of the negligence of someone. Now, the Mishnah is even a bigger fish, because the Mishnah is talking about listim, and the Mishnah is talking about someone who we're less inclined to have any sense of compassion for. Over here, it would seem that what? The person who let the door open forgot. He didn't intend for anybody to get hurt, whatever, if that's relevant. And not only that, it's very hard to make a case that this is certain, as you said, certain what happened. And he goes on in the footnotes to say, well, first his answer is he's butter. And then the way the safe works, he gives a short answer. He says, "Hashachin sheshiras adalas pesucha patur meshan nizkei chatul ulam." We'll see this in a moment. He says, "However, he should do tshuva, proper tshuva, because of what happened as a result of his lack of caution, lack of care." We'll see where he gets that from in a moment. So, as far as the first point, he makes a number of different points. He quotes our Mishnah, which says clearly that if a person leaves the door open and something happens, it's only considered a grama. And then he says, "Kavachomer over here." Where what? The person had a right to open his door. It was his house. The pshia was not that he opened it, it's that he failed to close it. And then he says that's different. He says that's certainly a grama, if that. And then he says, and not only that, I'm not even sure he says a chayv to pay b'dina shemayim, because remember, there are times that when you're chatzer, because of grama, you still chayv to pay b'dina shemayim. You still have an obligation, klapei shemayim, to do the right thing. You know, if I... And what was the classic case of grama, right? I hit a ball, and the ball hits off the tree and it goes through your car window. So the bezin is not going to make me pay. That's a grama. But they're going to tell me, you know, midin shemayim, I have to pay. That's considered something that I'm responsible for, and it's the right thing to do. So he says over here, I'm not even sure you have to pay midin shemayim, because, why? And he says, assuming even that we did collect, you know, the naval others, which we don't even do. He says, because there was no kavan over here. And there's a chiddush, which we will discuss. This comes up later on, a daf from now. It's a fascinating shadow. It's incredible when there are things like this that we still haven't talked about ever, I don't think, in our learning. But an interesting question as to whether or not a grum of the shogeg you have to pay b'dinei shemayim. We've always said a grum you have to pay b'dinei shemayim. And we always said when you do something b'yadayim, it doesn't matter whether it was a shogeg or not. But what about a grum of the shogeg? So he goes on to say, the Chazarish, others say that a grum of a shogeg, you don't even have a chiyuv midina shemayim to pay. And then he goes on, and he says that this case is even, you know, harder to pin on the guy, because the din is that we learn later on that even if a guy himself walks over and scares someone, and they get hurt in the process, if I scare someone, he has a heart attack and dies, God forbid, I'm also not chayuv to pay. Would you pay if you killed the guy anyway? You wouldn't pay it. But in other words, that hamavus chaveiro is not a case of actual nezik. So over here, it would be very hard to make a case against the guy because of this tragic event that took place. Nevertheless, he does conclude in his number two in the footnotes and say the bottom line is when it comes to the loss of life, So we know, and he brings numerous Gemaras to talk about this, and Shuva is based on this Gemara in Sanhedrin, that the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that David HaMelech was held responsible to a certain extent for Misa Shol and his sons, and Nov, Yer Kohanim. In other words, there were things that David was responsible, even though he didn't actually do it, because someone else's death came about as a result of his actions. So, and he says, you see from here that when we're talking about the loss of human life, so then we don't look at it quite the same way. So this is, it's not a simple monetary shaila din imamidus. When you talk about the loss of life, so there is a requirement for a person to do tshuva. And in the last paragraph he says that, and even in Uber, once we know that a fetus is something that is considered an nefesh, I mean in normal circumstances abortion is prohibited, may not be actual, considered to be actual shvichos damim, so how you classify abortion, it's also not the main point over here, but he says certainly a fetus is something which is considered an nefesh. Murder is something that is serious enough that you should do tshuva for, even if it was only a very, very remote grama. So he says the right thing to do over here would be to do tshuva, but pay, he doesn't have to pay. Interesting, Shaila. And again, the question itself, about leaving the door open and things that can happen, both on the inside and the outside, as you pointed out, the bee coming in the house. But this is a very, you know, very real shaila. One of the issues that we have here, thankfully, I think is under control at the moment, but every few years it comes up again, is issues with who's locking the shul. I mean, it's happened over, you know, the last few years that there have been mornings where someone walks in the morning and the door is wide open. So thankfully, I think the situation is under control. And Baruch Hashem, there hadn't been any, you know, major, you know, catastrophes, no loss of damage or anything like that, but you know, it should never happen. But no, was responsible. No, but no, but all seriousness, let's say it was a guy's job. It was a guy's job to lock the shul, but he forgot. He didn't so then who would, you know, who would be, would he be responsible if something was stolen? I'll tell you something that happened a few months ago. It's completely irrelevant at the moment, but to show you what could happen. I got a call at 11 o'clock at night, somebody was leaving the shul and said, he turned the lights off and he came up here just to make sure that it was gone, and he heard snoring. And he got nervous. So he called me, told me someone's sleeping in the shul. I also got nervous. I called someone in the shul who's big and scary. And I said, would you come with me to the shul? He said, that's very dangerous. We don't know what it is. You should call the police and have them go up there and see you sleeping. So it turns out there was a mashulach. He's here from Brooklyn. He was very honest. He said, I'm from Brooklyn. I work here. For me to go home and pay for the way all back home, just come back in the morning, it's a waste. So he said he's done it before. He was sleeping here in the shul. We never knew. He said he's done it before. I don't know. It was one of these things. The cops came in. They were very nice to him and escorted him to the highway, away to the bus. I saw him the next day. It broke my heart. He told me he didn't go. He wandered. So I haven't seen him in a while. I haven't seen him around. But thankfully, though, he got hurt. I don't know if he would have hurt anyone, but you know, these, you know, who's responsible to close the door is a real shaila, and it could obviously have ramifications in many different areas. So the case over here of Partsua Listim, which is even a bigger chiddush again, because they had no business going in the first place. They kicked open the barn door and they were trespassing. Even there, they're puffed from having to pay for damage which was caused by the animals escaping and causing damage next door, because that's a grama. So in most of these situations, there would not be any liability, api halach anyway, with something that came about through a grama. Obviously, that's, again, I just want to stress, bidinei shep adam. In terms of a person absolving himself of all, you know, guilt and making whatever, you know, reparations are necessary in a situation where there's real damage, that's a real different shaila. We'll read one more line in the Mishnah and then we'll call it a night. The Mishnah continues and says, even if you do a ne'ilah karoy, which again we still have to clearly define, but we're calling right now a sufficient closing of the door, nevertheless hinicha b'chama, if you put the animal in the sun, or he didn't put it in the sun, but you gave the animal over to a cheresh of a katan, which are three different examples of people who are not b'nei das, people who cannot be considered to be responsible al pi halacha. The yatsa, and then the animals escape when they're under the watch of these individuals. The zika, so then yachayev. So let's talk briefly about hinicha b'chama, also a fascinating case. Rashi says in the top line, hinicha b'chama mitzara l'shimsha. The animal's in the sun and is in tremendous distress because it's sitting there in the sun and there's no shade. Now, it's not enough to just close the door sufficiently. The Mukmina B'Gemara, what the Gemara is going to later say, that would mean a delish yecholam b'ruch matsuya. It means that the door basically is not going to open. Even a nice breeze will come, it's not going to open the door. But if the animal is put in a desperate situation where it's in the sun, and it needs drink, and needs shade, and it's become very desperate. So the Gemara later on has an expression that if you put an animal in a situation like that, it's going to come up with all sorts of creative ways to get out. And you have to, in that situation, you have to set up whatever necessary precautions. Obviously, it's Shalos Tzar Bala Chayim if you could do that anyway. But if the animals were in the Chama, you have to take that into consideration. Remember that thing that happened at the zoo a couple of years ago in San Francisco? The tiger... I think one of the tigers escaped.
They taunted it.
Yeah. So they said, you know, they have certain standards that they work with, that tigers can't, you know, an average tiger is not going to be able to jump this. But they said, you know, at the end of the day, we don't know the limits of every single tiger on earth. And if the conditions are right, and if the animal's taunted and he's hungry enough, you never know what it's capable of doing. Kachava, you know, it was able to jump the fence. So that's what it means over here. If you leave the zone in the middle of the sun, so then Anila Karoi is no longer sufficient, because you have to assume it's going to try all sorts of desperate measures to escape. And again, this is not the same case. The other case over here, it's not in the sun, but if you give it to a Cheshad V'Katan, so then you're responsible, because that's not considered a valid shmira. If you have to go to the bathroom, if you have to, you know, you have a meeting, so you give it to another responsible adult. They assume responsibility, now you're off the hook. But to give it to Cheshav HaKatan is as good as leaving it in no one's hands. That's not considered a valid shmira. Okay, so we'll pick up here, please God, next week.